Well, how do you feel about speaking to your friends and your family and your colleagues and your neighbours about Jesus? When that moment seems to come up in the conversation, how do you feel? That's what Peter is going to be getting at this morning that we've just heard, and we're going to think about that. But I want to remind you first of the two things that Peter has been going on at saying to us all the way through this letter so far, because it's probably a bit hazy in the memory now from a few weeks ago. So let me remind you of two things that Peter has been saying all along. Firstly, the world does not think much of Christians. Now, it might not feel like that as we sit in church, nice and safe here on a Sunday, but most people are not interested in Jesus. That's what Peter says. They do not have any intention of coming into church, and actually they're quite suspicious of Christians. And so that means that the normal experience of church and of Christians is to be marginalised and to be pushed out and to be rejected and ignored and misunderstood. That's the first thing. The world does not think much of Christians. And the second thing is that the church is so much greater and more glorious than it appears to be, than even we realise. We're a very normal bunch of people here, if you look around, aren't we? We're very normal. But Peter says we are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. If we trust in Jesus, we're God's special possession, he says. And only we who trust in Jesus have a hope that transcends death, that is everlasting. Only faith in Jesus gives new birth to eternal life with God. The church is so much greater than it appears to be. That's the second thing. Because we've experienced the grace of God. And that is what the world needs, desperately. That is Peter's main thing, those two things. The world does not think well of Christians, but the church is so much greater than it appears to be. And he's writing to Christians who are in this kind of situation to encourage them and us to live God's way, given that reality. And so today he turns to focus on how we share that hope that we have with the people around us. Now, did anyone watch the BBC drama that was on about a month and a half ago, The Bodyguard? Yeah, there's a lot of nods. It was really, really popular. It was sort of, for a while, that they've been saying that live TV is dead, everyone's watching online. But this was something that people tuned into on Sunday night, every week. It was very gripping, all about a policeman who becomes a protection officer for the Home Secretary, and there's all this drama and terrorism and all sorts of things. And a few different people asked me, are you watching The Bodyguard? Have you seen The Bodyguard? It's brilliant. Welcome. It's so easy to talk about it, isn't it? It's so easy to talk about something we're passionate about like that, like a new drama. Or maybe for you, it is a new recipe or a gardening tip or your football team's latest result, a string of victories. Whatever it is that you are passionate about, it is so easy to share that with others, isn't it? It's so easy because we've enjoyed something and we want to share it with other people who we like so that they can enjoy it too. But what about talking about Jesus? This is the most amazing thing that we have ever experienced, a relationship with the living God, at the cost of the life of his son. And it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. It's so difficult to share something that is so much more important and better than a great TV show. And I think there are two reasons that Peter deals with this morning that it's hard. Firstly, we fear. We're afraid. We're afraid to share about Jesus. And secondly, we don't know how to do it. We don't know what to say. And so let's think about the first one first, fear. Now, a few months ago, I was on a train. We used to live in London when I was training to be a curate, to be a minister in the church. And so I was on the train travelling, I can't remember where. I was on the train anyway, and I had my Bible open. I was reading it. And as people got onto the train, it started to fill up. And they were sitting around me. I was sort of on my own to start with. And then suddenly, everyone was sitting opposite me and next to me. And I suddenly started to feel very, very self-conscious that I was reading a Bible on the train. I started to go through my head. I was thinking, what are they thinking of me? Are they going to think I'm a crazy person? Are they going to think I'm a terrorist? Some kind of radical person? And so, to my shame, in the end, I sort of just kind of tilted my Bible a little bit away from everybody and put it under the table a bit so I could read it without feeling those feelings of nervousness. And it's really silly. And probably nobody even looked or even noticed for a second. But that's just an example of the kind of fear that we can feel about sharing our faith. And I was training to be a vicar. And it's because of the way the world thinks about Christians, isn't it? So we fear rejection. We fear people thinking badly of us. We maybe even fear harm. Maybe not in this country so much, but in other countries, definitely. And if you feel that fear, then listen to what Peter says in verse 14. The second half. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. He says, don't be afraid of people who may wish you harm because you're a Christian. Instead, set apart in your heart Christ as Lord. Set apart Christ as Lord. What does that mean? Because that's the answer to the fear. Well, in the Bible, your heart is not just your emotions. It's not just the thing that you feel with. It's the thing that you make decisions with. It's your whole inner person. Your will. And you can tell who or what is the Lord of your heart by asking two questions. Why do you make the decisions you make? And what would devastate your life completely if you lost it? So, for example, if money is the Lord of your heart, then making and keeping money will guide all of your decisions. It would be all about keeping money and making it. And the worst possible thing that could happen to you is that you go bankrupt and you lose everything. That would destroy you. Not just be bad, but it would destroy you. If reputation is Lord of your heart, then pleasing people and making them like you will guide your decisions and everything you do. And the worst possible thing would be that people would think badly of you. And so, and that would ruin you, wouldn't it? To look bad in their eyes, if reputation is your Lord. But Peter says, set Jesus as Lord in your heart. And only Jesus. So the same two things. He has saved us, so obedience to him becomes the thing that guides every decision, if he's Lord of your heart. And the second part, the, if Jesus is Lord of your heart, losing him would devastate you. But if Jesus is Lord of your heart, you cannot lose him. Jesus will never let you down. He will never leave you. You can trust him. If you set Jesus apart as Lord in your heart, you are safe. That is the answer to fear. You are a child of God and you cannot lose that, even if you lose everything else. Even if you die, you cannot lose that you're a child of God if you trust in Jesus and he is Lord of your heart. And if you know that you cannot lose what really matters, then fear will lose its power. So that's what Peter says. If you fear, don't fear. Set Christ apart as Lord in your heart. That is the answer to fear. What about the second problem then? We don't know how to speak about Jesus. Have a look again at verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. Now, I know that some of us here are brilliant at that. But I think most of us aren't. And I just want to read a little quote from the book that Louis and I have been reading along with 1 Peter. I forgot to bring it with me. It's called Everyday Church, and it's by Tim Chester, whose name I'm sure you'll be familiar with. But listen to this. Many of us know how to answer the question, what must I do to be saved? But we do not know how to begin a conversation about Jesus. Our only hope is a crass, awkward change of direction, like crunching the gears in your car. So, for instance, you're watching football and you resort to saying things like, at last, a substitution. Did you know that Jesus could be your substitute? Now, that is very crass and awkward, isn't it? So how do we share Jesus, about Jesus, in an authentic way? Well, first of all, notice in that verse 15 that it doesn't say always bash people over the head with the gospel all the time. It doesn't say that. It says always be prepared to give an answer, to give a reason for the hope that you have. And if you look at the end of that verse and all the way through the bit from chapter 4, that we read earlier. Peter says, do all of this with gentleness and respect and actually endure wrongful suffering. Live in a distinctive and godly way. So the first thing is, the first way to share Jesus in an authentic way is actually trust God to provide opportunities and be ready to speak when they come. Now you might say, well, I've been doing that. I do that all the time. And I've done that for ages, but nobody has ever asked me about Jesus. What do I do then? Well, second thing then, be interested in other people's hope. Because everybody has something that they're living for, that they're building their life on, that they're hoping for. And it might be something like meeting Mr. or Miss Wright. It might be a fantastic house in the country. It might be making a business into a success. It might be security. It might be affirmation. All sorts of things that people build their lives on. We all do it. Everyone is living for something and hoping for something. And so we need to be interested in what other people are living for. What is their hope? Because the truth is that as good as many of those things are, they can never truly satisfy or fulfill people. because the only person who can is Jesus. The only person who can make us whole is him. And he's the only person who can give us eternal fulfillment and joy that will never fade away. Now, if you only talk to people about the weather or football or the news, it's really hard to make that leap to talking about Jesus, who's your hope. But if you are talking about dreams and you're finding out about other people's hopes and the deep things of their life, then a conversation about Jesus is much less far away. That's the first two things. Thirdly, you don't need to share everything that you know about Jesus every time the conversation comes around to Jesus. And so, this is difficult, isn't it? This is so tempting. But a few years ago, someone rang on our doorbell in our house, and I went to answer it, and it was a double glazing salesman. And no offence if anyone is a double glazing salesman, but this one was not a great one. He asked, "Are you thinking about getting double glazing?" And like a fool, I said, "Yes." Well, I said, So an hour later, he was still going on about the double glazing that he was selling. He had to get through his spiel about every single thing that was good about his double glazing. And even if the quote hadn't been ridiculously high, I would never have bought his double glazing. Because he just splurged everything he knew about double glazing at me, without caring about me or what I thought. And actually, we mustn't be like that with the gospel either. It feels like we need to say, "I've got this opportunity, I need to tell everything I know about Jesus." We don't need to. The gospel is not a sales spiel to unload on any unsuspecting person. And the person we're talking to is a real person. They're not a target. So you don't need to unload everything. But you should, and you can unload something. You can share something. One thing, maybe, that is relevant. And actually, one helpful thing that I heard recently is to have a sentence like this, just ready in your head. "One thing I love about Jesus is..." ... that you can just share with someone when it's appropriate. And it takes the pressure off, doesn't it? Because you don't have to remember all of the whole thing. And then you pray and trust that God will provide another opportunity further down the road, or maybe for someone else to share a bit more. Finally, you're not on your own. When you become a Christian, you become part of God's family. And so sharing our hope is not something we do on our own. And we're not meant to. So some of us in this room here will be brilliant at inviting other people to things. And that's just brilliant at it. Some people will be particularly good at loving people in practical ways. Some other people will be better at helping people with their difficult questions and their struggles with Christianity and the Bible. And some others may be really good at sharing the gospel in a clear and easy to understand way. But we're probably not all good at all of those things. So sharing the gospel is actually something that we do together as a community. It's best done like that. There we go. That's five things that Peter just helps us with sharing the gospel if we're not sure what to say. Jesus has given us a wonderful, certain hope. And he calls us to share it with those around us. So instead of fear, set Christ as Lord in your heart. And then always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope that you have. Let me pray.